Have you had a good week? Have you heard God speak to you? It's been wonderful. Like never before. And I believe this morning God's still got some more for us. So let's get straight into it.
You've
got your Bibles. Could you go to Numbers chapter 13? Just before I get there, let me tell you where we are.
So,
God's people were slaves in Egypt. And we know the story. God raises Moses up. And he says to Moses, you're going to lead my people. And he says this in Exodus 3 to him.
He
says, you will bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land. A land flowing with milk and honey. To the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. So lots of those names. And we go through the story as we know. They go through the 10 plagues and Moses leads them out.
Got this
incredible mass of people going through the wilderness. And here in chapter 13, we've just got to the edge of the promised land. Okay, this land that God's spoken to them about. And let's start in verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man. Everyone a chief among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of the men who were heads of the people of Israel. Okay, and then I'm going to save myself and skip past all the names. But he sent 12 men who had fathers and who were from different tribes. And then in verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negeb and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. So these 12 spies go out into the land. One from each tribe. And they go and they collect some fruit. They see the people. They see the cities. And they come back with their report. Verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. They came to Moses and Aaron and to the congregation of the people of Israel. In the wilderness of Paran
and Kadesh.
They brought back word to them.
And
to all the congregation and showed them the fruits of the land. This would have been quite an exciting moment. Because I skipped over where it said that they took a bunch of grapes, a single bunch of grapes, which they carried on a pole between two of them.
Now,
when I think of a bunch of grapes, I think of something about this big. It doesn't take two men in a pole to carry it.
Okay.
I think this was a wow moment.
People
go, wow, look at those grapes. People almost getting excited. We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey.
Going,
well, that's what God said it was going to do. Wow. And this is its fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. And very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. What I could gather from that is if you can imagine Paul's big brothers. That's kind of what these guys would have looked like. They said the Amalekites dwell in the land. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the Jordan. So, they come with a great report. The land is wonderful. But we're in trouble. They're big and they're fortified. And all of these different peoples are there already. Then we've got one of the spies.
Says,
but Caleb quieted the people before Moses. He said, let us go up at once and occupy it. For we are able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. For they are stronger than we are. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land. Saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim. These sons of Anak. Who come from Nephilim. And we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seem to them as well. Chapter 14, then all the congregation raised a loud cry. And the people wept that night. Father, I want to pray this morning as we look into this passage. Would you open our hearts to hear from you? Lord, help us to learn from those who had great faith and to learn from those who had no faith. Lord, that we would take hold of the promises you've given us and take hold of the land that you're giving to us. Amen.
Amen.
So my first question after reading this passage
was,
why did God send out the spies? We started with the Lord said to Moses, send out spies into the land.
Okay.
It's not like God didn't know what was there.
Okay.
I read it in Exodus chapter 3. God says, I'm taking you into this land of milk and honey.
Yes,
all these other people are there. But I'm giving you the land.
Okay.
And then God says, send out spies. I think it was even that the spies could come up with a great strategy of how to take the land.
Okay.
God could do that by himself.
Okay.
God didn't need the spies.
Okay.
So why did he send them out? It's because he wanted to check their hearts.
He wanted
to see the hearts of his people.
They've
heard my promises.
Let
them go and see the land. Let's see how they respond. The Israelites lost a massive battle here. Possibly one of their greatest defeats. And it wasn't against their enemy. It was against themselves. They lost a huge battle in their minds. There was a battle for their hearts. God wants our hearts. He wants our renewed minds. And we need to realize that there is a battle for our thinking. There is a battle that we wage every day. Am I
going
to believe what God is saying?
Or
am I
going
to believe what I see on the ground? This battle cost the Israelites.
You know,
it had taken them about 4 or 5 months to get to the edge of the promised land. Because of this, it took them another 39.5 years to get into the promised land. God said, I'm not taking my people in if they think like that. I can't take them into the promise with their hearts like that. So they detoured through the wilderness for 39 years. A generation died off before they were able to ever come into this promise. In this battle for our minds, sometimes we give the enemy way too much credit. I'm very aware we have an enemy. But we think way too highly of him sometimes. Sometimes it's just our own thinking that we need to get over. I was going to go and do that, but you know, the devil stopped me.
It
probably wasn't the devil. It was probably just you. You fall into sin. Oh, the devil made me do it.
No,
he actually can't make you do anything. Sorry. It wasn't him. It was you. Let's not give him more credit than he deserves. We need to win the battle over our own thoughts. When the Bible says we need to take captive our thoughts,
it's
part of us winning battles. Not giving the enemy any foothold. It starts with us. In our thinking. We need to win this battle. The other thing we need to realize, God is not in a hurry. Sometimes we can be at a week like this. And we can hear all the promises. We can receive the promises. Think, when Paul mentioned those thousands of churches, it stirred in me. There was just a yes, this is going to happen. But you know what? It's not all going to be done by next week Sunday. And God is okay with that. He's not panicking. He's not in a hurry. He's going, right, we got this ahead of us. Let's get our hearts right. Let's get our thinking right. It's been mentioned this week. God wants to do an enlarging in our hearts. Yes, we're
going
to enlarge into new territory.
But
it needs to start in here.
That
God needs to have more rule and reign in us. I haven't numbered my points this morning, so you're not going to be confused. I'm just
going
to keep going. So, seventhly, we are a sent people. Just like God didn't need those spies, we need to get to grips with God doesn't actually need us. But He chooses to go with us. He delights in working with us. He's chosen to be with us. It's not like He needs us. There's plenty of others He could use. But we are sent. John 20:21. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And we see this theme reoccurring. God is sending us. And we heard as well that it's not about one person. God is sending us. He's sending us as a people. I love it when Jesus sends out the different groups, the 12 and then the 72 and others. In Matthew chapter 10, when he's sending out the 12, he says this. He says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I've often thought that my translation was wrong. John, maybe you can help me on that. Because that just sounds like the worst team talk ever. Can you imagine before a rugby game? Guys, we're like sheep going against those wolves. Yeah. Really, Jesus? Is that what you want to go for? But Jesus is making a great point here. He's saying, don't have confidence in yourself. Don't try and match yourself up against them. But remember who your shepherd is. Sheep are protected by their shepherd. We're going out as sheep among the wolves. You see, the spies went into this land and they compared themselves with what they saw. And they went, they're bigger than us. They've got strong cities. We don't. We've got tents. There's way more cons than pros on this list. They're better than us. They forgot who their shepherd was. They forgot who it was that was with them. It's amazing how they did forget, thinking of all the miracles God had just done amongst them. All the other nations already feared them, because of their God.
And
yet so quickly they looked at themselves.
Thought,
oh, I can't do this. We're not big enough. We're not strong
enough.
As I was preparing this, Daniel came in. My 6-year-old came to me.
And,
he said, Dad, what
are
you doing? And I said, oh, I'm preparing because I'm going to be preaching.
And
he said, oh, what story are you going to be talking about? At this moment, let me backtrack to a few weeks ago. This is a great story. We're driving home from church, I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I asked Daniel, so what did you learn about in kids' work today? And he said, I think it was the one where Jesus killed all the children.
So,
thinking, I know my Bible pretty well.
I said,
do you mean when Jesus says, let all the children come to me?
Goes,
no, Jesus killed all the children.
I
said, maybe it's when Jesus raised the child from the dead. Now he's getting cross with me. Dad, Jesus killed all the children. Some of you are thinking right now, I better go get my kids.
Anyway,
a message to the kids' work leader. Just interested, what happened, you know, what story were you guys doing? She said, no, we were talking about all the plagues when the people were leaving Egypt.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. So anyway, so Daniel comes to me and says, Dad, what are you doing?
And I
said, well, remember when Jesus killed all the children? Just after that, God was leading them into the promised land. And I'm telling Daniel, and I said, and then you know what a spy is?
Yeah.
You know what a spy is? And I said, well, God told them to send 12 spies into the land. And he goes, wow, that's a lot. And I'm stumped. I hadn't thought that at all. Is it a lot? And it got me thinking. So I went back to it. God said, send someone from every tribe. And I feel this is for us. It's not about one or two people. God is sending lots of people. He is sending people from every tribe.
Yeah,
he's good, that one. He's got a future. Last night, we had people come up here. And it's exciting.
What a
beast. But at the moment, I was going, come on. Because I want to honor Fusi, wherever you are.
He's
gone already. But say, come on, Fusi. There we go. A Basotho man gone to the nations. But I didn't see any others. So I want to say, to our Basotho people this morning, God is sending people from every tribe. To our Zulu brothers and sisters, God is sending people from every tribe. From our Xhosa brothers and sisters, God is sending people from every tribe. He's not chosen one people now. We are one people. God is sending us together. I believe we need to break our thinking in this. Because we can think, I can't afford to go. But you know the funny thing is that some very wealthy people have exactly the same thoughts. They also look at their life and all their money commitments and go, oh, I can't afford to go.
It
doesn't matter. God is calling us and He's sending us. And He's sending people from every tribe. Have you heard God's call this week? I hope you have. Because every preach has been along the same line.
God is
sending us. Take courage, don't be afraid. We're a sent people, we're going. And I've been feeling for weeks leading up to this conference. This
master builders
would not be remembered for these days together. But for the outcome of these days together.
For the fruit
that is going to come out of this time together. When I was praying for the offering, I
said,
God, I don't want to be amazed at the amount of money. I want to be amazed at what that money makes. Is that money raising leaders around the world? That's what I want to be amazed at, Lord. So we're grateful for that money. But we want to see the fruit from it come. God has started something in us this week. But there's fruit for us. If we take hold of what God has said and walk with great faith, we'll see our communities transformed. We will see churches planted all over. Amen.
Amen.
So these spies go into the land. 12 of them. And they come back. And 10 out of the 12 felt the same. But then there was two. Who saw something totally different. Actually, they saw exactly the same thing when they went into the land. Okay, because they came back with this report. Firstly, they said, the land is beautiful. Look at this fruit. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And I imagine that Caleb and Joshua are going, yes. Yes, it does. We agree with you on this one. And let me put that for us as well.
Say,
the reward is great for us. The promise that we are to take hold of, there is great reward in it. There really is. Spies reported back, the people are strong. Imagine Caleb going, yeah, they are quite strong. There were some pretty impressive looking guys. And they said, the cities are fortified and large. Yeah, they were big cities. They had walls around them. Not sure how we're going to get through those. Still imagine Caleb going, okay, I agree with you on that one. And we saw Paul's big brothers there. Yeah, okay, those guys.
Okay.
But then they said this in verse 33. We seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. And to them as well. Imagine at that point Caleb going, I don't agree with you there. Maybe to them we look like grasshoppers. But we are not grasshoppers. Come on, we are the people of God. We are the chosen people of God. Yes, they're big. Yes, they're strong. Yes, they got cities. But our God, come on, our God, we're not comparing them with us. We're comparing them with our God. They're grasshoppers. Sure, they look big, but our God. Our God is so much bigger. We need to know who we are. We can't be Christians who walk around like grasshoppers. Scared of what people might say about us. Scared of what might happen. Come on, we've heard it this week. Don't be afraid. When Moses sent them out, he said, come on guys, take courage. Take courage as you go. Take courage from God. God is with us. God is with us. And we need to have faith. Faith means believing what God said more than what we see. We need to look at what's ahead of us in the natural through glasses of God's promises. So we can go, whew, we need to take Bloemfontein. Go, oh, do we have the people? I mean, have you seen that place? Hang on, let's put on the glasses of God's promises. What he said to us. And suddenly it looks very different. We need to continually have God's promises in front of us. And we need to walk believing God's promises over what we see. Many of you this week have felt God stir you. I think God's calling me to go. As soon as I've paid off my bond, Lord. Because that one, God, that's a big one. God, have you seen my bond? I'm struggling every month at the moment. How can I give up my job and go? Well, that's not seeing the promises. You know, we need to, yeah, this is a reality. But let's put on those promise glasses. Say, okay, God, you know my situation. And if you're saying I need to go, then you must have a plan. But God, my family, I've got responsibility. I so want to go, Lord. But maybe when my kids are older. But I heard last week, John was telling me, saying even when your kids are older, they still demand things from you. I'm seeing a lot of gray nodding right now. People going, yes, yes, that still happens. Okay. We need to trust God. With the challenges ahead of us. Those are personal challenges. We might even feel God calling us to something where there's just opposition the whole time. We got to respond either like Caleb and Joshua or like the other spies. Either we say, yeah, I know God said it. And it looks great. But they're strong. It's not going to work. I've done the maths. We can't do this. Let me throw out a warning. If you have a faith adventure ahead of you, and you work it out, this is really doable. Actually, when I look at all that, when I work out all the practicals, we can do this. I'll say, whoa, hang on. We're not meant to be able to do it. Because then we don't need God if we can do it.
Okay?
It's got to be impossible. It's got to be, nah, these numbers don't add up. We can't. Okay, but God has said.
Amen?
And I know Steve has led us in this. In believing God for ridiculous. And I can confess along with many others that I've got very frustrated with Steve.
But
Steve, can you not see my life here? Can you not see these strong men in front of us? I can imagine these other spies saying to Caleb, just sit down, be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about.
But
we need to be men and women of faith. We need to believe God. Go to Numbers 14, verse
6.
Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jeff.
Joshua,
who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes and said to the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land. For they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. There's a great speech. But you know what happened? Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent. Tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. Fear had gripped them so much that they could not even hear or believe the promises of God. God has promises for us. He has towns, cities, villages for us to take.
And
God wants His best for us.
But He's
never going to force us. He's never going to make us do anything.
And
this is where we have to have faith. And know that believing God means we get His best for us. If we mess up, if we turn back because we think, no, they're just too strong.
God,
I know you've said that, but it just can't be for now. The great news is God doesn't give up on us. His mercy and grace for us has no end. And we see that with this people. God didn't just destroy them. But they had to go through another season of heart change. Until they were ready to take hold of of the promises. But I want God's best for us. I want us to be people of faith. When we hear God speak, we say, yes, Lord, doesn't matter what the cost is. Because what could cost more than what he's paid for us?
Nothing.
So God, we will pay the cost. Whatever that is, we will go. God wants to enlarge our borders. And it's
going
to mean we have to have complete faith in him. It's
going to
mean just going, God, you said it. So we'll believe it. Whatever's in front of us, we see it through the lens of God's promise. So God, we believe you, we're going to take this land. Amen.
Amen.